I can hear we're on. Thank you so much for this opportunity to come and speak to you. My name is Christopher Baker. I'm 55 years old. Why is someone laughing? That's true. And I work for Christian Initiative to Schools. I've been involved with working with you as well with the Christmas and Easter journey. Starting off with the Easter journey, I've played Herod, Caiaphas, and Pilate. I've been the grumpy shepherd, and I've been the angel. Someone said I've been promoted this morning. But it's really good to be with you. The term in the schools has started really well, and assemblies are now beginning to roll as the term goes on. I do just want to say one thing about one of your congregational members, and she's going to hate me for this, but I just want to say thank you to Margaret Owen, because she has only just recently stepped down as being a trustee for Christian Initiative to Schools and was there right at the very beginning, weren't you, Margaret? So which is it 14, 15 years?
Well, yeah, but I actually became a trustee eight years ago. I became a trustee.
Okay. So she's been really involved. So thank you, Margaret. We are sorting out a gift for you, but there we go. But yeah, it's great to be here. Thank you very much. Now, there will be no roving mic, but what I'd like you to do, just for a few moments, is to go and speak to somebody you don't normally speak to, or somebody who's new. Okay? I'll pick it. Off you go. Gives me a chance to sort myself out. Okay, you're having too much fun, it's church. Come and sit down. As you come and sit down, just to say there are a few leaflets at the back. There's our prayer pointer sheet, there's a newsletter, and also we've got a meeting coming up on the 27th regarding prayer spaces in schools, which is something that we as an organisation are looking to try and do over the coming months. Now, I know what I would have done if I had been asked to get up and speak to somebody new.
No, I'm not doing it.
Now, it's interesting to note that some of you got up straight away, some of you stayed where you were. And it's so very difficult often to get to know new people. You see, you've given me a really warm welcome. You are a hospitable church. Let me get that out properly. Hospitable church. You're warm, you're welcoming. But sometimes it's not the case. It's just very, very interesting when you think about it, that we are called to be Jesus to the world. Someone who welcomed people to him. He never turned anyone away. People chose to walk away from him. Jesus was welcoming. He was speaking about a God who wants everyone to be saved. A hospitable God. People coming into the kingdom, being part of his family. Jesus said that he would go away and prepare a place for us to live. In John 14, that there are many rooms in heaven. And that his death actually enabled that to happen. And so if we're followers of Jesus, we have a challenge. And the two passages that were read this morning, we're going to look at a little bit now. Romans 12, 1 and 2. Paul says, offer your lives as living sacrifice. There's a problem with living sacrifices. They can get up off the altar. Think about it. Sacrifices given in the Old Testament, well, they basically couldn't move. But we as living sacrifices can get up off the altar if we choose. But God wants us, or Jesus wants us, to offer our lives as living sacrifice, to no longer conform to the pattern of this world, a world that is very much I-orientated, wanting instant gratification. And then we have be transformed by the renewing of your mind. The Message version puts those first two verses this way. So here's what I want you to do, God helping you. Take your everyday, ordinary life, your sleeping, eating, going to work and walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. Embracing what God does for you is the best thing you can do for him. And this is very interesting. Don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. Instead, fix your attention on God. You'll be changed from the inside out. Readily recognize what he wants from you and quickly respond to it. Unlike the culture around you, always dragging you down to its level of immaturity, God brings the best out of you, develops well-formed maturity in you. And then he goes on in verses 9 to 21 to talk about the way that we should be, our attitudes. So we have blessed those who persecute you. Don't repay anyone evil for evil. Don't take revenge. If someone you don't like, your enemy, as Paul says here, is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him something to drink. Overcome evil with good. Don't be proud. Don't be conceited. Be devoted to one another. Committed to one another. Live in harmony with one another. Be joyful in prayer, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with God's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Okay, Paul, that's easy for you to say. You're not living in this 21st century world. But yet, those are standards that we see in the life of Jesus. That is how he worked and lived. Remember, on the cross, as the soldiers were playing dice for his robes, he said, "Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing." And in our world today, that probably is the problem. People are lost. People are struggling with life as it is. We know many people, because we have food banks, but they are struggling to feed their families every day. And being involved in such a project is brilliant. But could we be doing so much more? In this social media orientated world where people are waiting for the like button to be clicked on their post, whether it's Snapchat, Twitter, Facebook, WhatsApp, Instagram, etc. They want to be liked. But yet, what about one-on-one conversations as you had earlier? People can hide in their homes, and they can think they have many friends. Now, I can't remember how many friends I've got on Facebook, but I certainly don't have 1,000 like my daughter has. But how many of them are real? How many does she speak to day on day? How many do we speak to day on day? And then if you've ever done any kind of door-to-door work, you know how difficult it is to get any conversation started on the doorstep. They say the Englishman's home is his castle. Well, okay, so you've got to get across the moat, across the drawbridge, through the portcullis, and hopefully beyond the point where they'll pour boiling hot oil on you before you get to the door. And then generally, as you're about to speak, not interested. Do we do the same here? Do we make this place a fortress for us? A place of safety and security, rather than doing as Jesus said, which was to go. Yes, he called his disciples to come follow me, but he also told them to go and make disciples of other people as well. Think about some of the things that have happened this week. Things that, with young people in schools, they'll probably be asking a question. If there's a God of love, why? So we've had the hurricanes destroying many homes and lives in the Caribbean and America. Why is there genocide going on in Myanmar? former Burma. Why are North Korea still firing off missiles? Why the bomb on the train at Parsons Green? Why? Why isn't God doing anything? And yet God replies this way, I have. I love the world so much that I wasn't going to leave it in the state it was in. I sent Jesus to you. I gave him to you. And he gave his life, died in our place, took our sin upon himself, became the perfect sacrifice that was needed. He shed his blood in order for us to have forgiveness of sins and new and everlasting life. And again, God says, I don't want anyone to perish. I want everyone to come to know the truth and be saved. In my Father's house are many rooms. If there are many rooms, then there's room enough for you and I and everyone. And I do all this because I love you so very much. And so as we look at the passage in Acts, we have a standard to live in Romans 12. But here we see the church in action. And Peter preaches the message of the gospel, that of Christ crucified, Christ forgiving our sins and giving us new and everlasting life. And men and women believed and were baptized on that day. 3,000 were added. Oh, to see that happen here. Remember, 3,000 added to a very few number. Possibly 100. Possibly it was only the 12 at that time. How would they respond to this? Well, maybe they'd respond in the way that a small town in Newfoundland responded on the 11th of September 2001. One of the things that we don't actually hear about is actually flights were stopped. Planes were told to land at the nearest airport as the planes flew into the Twin Towers. And in the town of Gander, a town of 10,400, 10,500 passengers from 54 planes descended on the town. They needed a place to stay. They didn't know when their flight would then be rescheduled because of all that had happened in New York and elsewhere. And so the town responded in such a way. They provided shelter for people. They provided food for people. They provided free washing because the people only had the clothes they were wearing. And so they were washed freely. They were taken on excursions. They did some amazing things with the people. And one of the flight crew mentioned that as they got on the plane to actually carry on their flight, there was a difference in the plane. It was a party atmosphere. People were laughing and joking. People who were strangers became friends. They passed on email addresses, telephone numbers, etc. And as a response, because of the hospitality of that town, they set up a grant system for young people in Gander and other towns in the area to go to future education, further education, a scholarship scheme. And this is what one of the flight attendants said after this. Why all this? Just because some people in faraway places were kind to some strangers who happened to literally drop in among them. If you look at Acts 2, you'll see a similar sort of thing happening. They had to do something. How were they going to look after and disciple these 3,000? Well, just going through the verses, verse 42, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. They committed themselves to the teaching of those early apostles, to being together, to fellowship, to sharing bread and wine in communion. As this happened, many miracles and wonders were performed amongst them. God was still at work. God's still at work today. But maybe we don't see it in this way. Because people were filled with awe. There was a fear of God, a right fear of God. Not one that is fearful and cringing with shame, but one that is open to what he has to do. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They shared together of what they had. They shared their homes, their meals. People went from house to house. They met in the temple courts daily. They didn't have a building to go to. They went and were part of the temple worship, a place that was open for everyone to see. So people were being drawn in. And this is the amazing thing. They enjoyed the favor of the people. They were loved and liked because they were active and involved in their community. And as a consequence, people came to faith in Jesus every day. Could we see it happen here? I think so. Being like Jesus, remember the standards that Paul says in Romans 12, of having a right mindset, of having a right heart and love. The catalyst for all this happening in Acts was the pouring out of the Holy Spirit, the empowering of the Holy Spirit onto the lives of those apostles, the boldness to go and speak the gospel to those around them. You've been looking at hospitality over the last few days and this morning. We have a God who is a welcoming, loving, and hospitable God who wants all to come in. And he's done all in his power to make that happen. And we have to decide what we'll do for Jesus or turn our back on Jesus. As a church, how are we going to respond to the needs of those outside? I know we already are, but there's so much more that we can do. Being hospitable means actually taking action, being real in practical ways. I don't believe it's impossible for the church in Letchworth to actually be more hospitable in its actions to the people in this town. I believe in a God of the impossible, a God who spoke and the world came into being, who has the power to transform and change our lives. You have a lighthouse as a symbol for this church. A lighthouse is visible. You can't hide it. When that light is on, it is designed to be seen. It's designed to be a warning, but also as a comfort. A place, a sign of rescue as well. God wants us to be the same, to be his light in this world, to shine for him in all that we say and do. My prayer is that we will, as individuals and also as a church, be hospitable people. That we will welcome anyone who comes in. The song Vagabonds has very good lyrics in terms of come everyone, no matter who, no matter what. May God's light radiate through us. And may we all be empowered by the Holy Spirit to be those hospitable people in Jesus' name.